Amen, brothers and sisters. We bring you greetings from the church in Accra, Ghana. Amen. My name is Carbina. This is my wife, Abina. No, I'm just kidding. I'm Kendall, and this is my wife, Diane. We just came back from Accra, Ghana. We spent 10 days there, so the brothers and sisters send their love and their greetings to you. It was an amazing time. It was a life-changing time for us, and we're just really grateful for the North River Church, for the Atkins, for the Ottenwallers, for all of you to be able to go and be able to represent the family here in North River. And we're going to share a few thoughts with you. Today's message, as we close out the series, is going to be quite simple. As we recover from jet lag and a little food poisoning, right? Amen. So we're good. So, you know, I'm looking at Chase. I want to, man, I can't do that, Chase, not today. So I'm like, amen. But we're really excited to be here. And Diane's going to share a few things, and we want to get into the lesson. And then I'm going to bring up my dear brother, Ross McKenzie. He's going to share a few thoughts, our elder and emeritus. And then we're going to pray, and we're going to be done. But I pray that what you see today comprehensively will inspire you to do and be amazing people for God. Amen?
Amen. Okay. All right. I'm not sure if I need to press this to start it. I guess I do.
Yes, you do. Yep.
Yes?
Yep.
No, it says Ephesians. Okay, let's talk about the good news.
No, we don't want that. We want our slides.
All right, so let's see. It's not loaded yet.
It's Diane's slides.
Oh. There we go. There we go. Well, we're excited just to share with you a little bit about our adventure in Accra, Ghana. It was an amazing time being able to be with the church there in Accra. The brothers and sisters there, the leadership there, are just an amazing group of people with what they deal with day in and day out. And to see their joy and their love that they have for God and for the people around them and the way that they serve God in their particular city. Here we go. This was our arrival at the airport. Welcome to Accra. And then here in this first picture, you see one of the elders, Azuma. And he met us at the airport. And there was our welcome team at the airport. We were very happy to see them when we got there. And we moved right through the airport. It was great. Great time. So we did a marriage retreat for the church in Accra. And we shared with them love for a lifetime. We shared with them five keys so that they could have to nurture their love for a lifetime. Key one was love in action. Key two was give and you'll be refreshed. Key three was listen and learn. Key four, watch your words. And key five, the gift of prayer. We were able to give each couple a little antique-looking key to remind them of those five keys as they continue to nurture their marriages. And this was class time there at the convention center where we where they held the retreat. And then we had an anniversary roll call where we had the different couples come up who were 5 years married and younger, and then 10 and younger, 15, 20, 25. And there was a couple there that had been married for 32 years. And so it was really great to be able to have that time together just to celebrate the marriages that God had blessed them with. We also got a chance to do a midweek lesson for the singles in Accra. We sent the love from the Thrive Ministry, from the singles and the newly marrieds here, and we did a lesson for them called The Gift of Singlehood. It was a great time of sharing and interaction, and we really enjoyed being able to spend that time with them via Zoom. And we also closed out the time there that Thursday morning before we left later in the evening with the staff, doing a lesson for the staff and really helping them to stay focused on the mission, telling about the good news. And I think that's it. Yes. Okay. I'm done.
Yeah, Amina Castle didn't come up.
Huh?
Amina Castle didn't come up.
I'm sorry.
Amina Castle. There it is, huh? Oh, go back. Go back to that last slide, bro.
There was one more?
Yeah, go back to the last slide. There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, yes. This was a part of the visit that we were able to do, Kendall and I, to the Elmina Castle. And this castle, for those of you who know the history, is where the Africans who were held captive and then were transported to the shores of North, South America, and the Caribbean in the transatlantic slave trade. It was a sobering time. It was a convicting time. And I think for me, what I left away with it is that there are times and events that have happened in human history where man's inhumanity against man has been tremendous. But ultimately, what I walked away with is good always overcomes evil. And so we can have hearts that are filled with grace and forgiveness and a hope that we do not have to live as the world lives in despair and in bitterness and in anger, because our God reigns and he has already won the victory.
All right, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to go to verse 19. And we're going to close out the series today in Ephesians. I really appreciate all the work that was done. I want to thank all of those who've shared throughout the series, the curriculum team, all that we did during that series. To me, it was one of the best series that I've experienced here at North River. Just people's lives, delving into what God has done in our lives, the amazing power, the Holy Spirit, the community we have, the ability to fight against the powers of principalities. It was comprehensively a wonderful, wonderful series. For me, what I leave with is, I'm using the NLT translation here, and the title of the message is, Let's Talk About the Good News. Let's talk about the good news. You know, when Paul is concluding this, and if you heard a lot of the songs we sang today, you know, to me, there was some really oldies but goodies. 202, to me, is one of the great songs that we sing. Lord, we sing your praises loud. Sing them to a stumbling crowd. I mean, that right there is riveting in my heart. And so, to me, I don't want us just to walk away and say, man, we had a great theological series with wonderful sharing. No, we need to talk about the good news. And that resonates differently for everyone. I'm not saying we're creating a conveyor belt ministry. Oh, let's go ahead and baptize. One disciple makes it. No, I don't want anyone to have any spasm attacks there. What I'm saying is the good news. How has God resonated in your heart? How has the good news changed you? How can the good news help someone else change? And I asked Chase, I said, Chase, you know, sing some songs, man. We can see how great God is, the amazing, you know, way maker, just tremendous all around the world, you know, said I wasn't going to talk about it. Oldie but goodie. You know, that was one, as I grew up as a young Christian, you know, could not keep it to myself what the Lord has done for me. And Ross is going to share a little bit more about that. I feel like the Holy Spirit really moved in my life when we went to Accra. Because when you go there, the people are so joyful about the good news. They're so excited. You know, you look, you know, the average Ghanaian may make $100 a month. You know, that's what they earn. The average ministry person there is making $130 a month to serve in God's kingdom. That U.S., that's what they're making. Some of the members who came to the marriage retreat had to bring their own food because they couldn't afford the lunches that were there. Or they couldn't afford to have dinner. So they pulled things together and kind of worked together to get everything where they can eat and enjoy the meals. You know, it just was amazing. You start worshiping God. I mean, we were pretty fired up here. I was sweating. I'm like, hey, man, we're having a great worship. All of a sudden, a concert breaks out. You know, and they start marching around the building. God, you're so good. Just go on and on and on. I said, man, I got my cardio in this today. Amen. Just unbelievable. Every time the minister, one of the brothers, he gets up and he starts playing the drums. There's a drum. boom, 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 oh, and it goes on for 30 minutes, and they're marching around, and like, I'm like, this is unbelievable. It's good news. It's good news. If you saw the conditions, and Ghana is pretty developed. If you saw the roads, I mean, I could tell you stories. I don't have time. I mean, we got lost, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. Diane said, I saw my life flash before my eyes. We're getting ready to drive in swamps. We're getting ready to drive over bridges. And like, where are we, bro? Cows and goats are running across the roads. Kids are shooting out. I'm like, where did he come from? Diane's like, where are their parents? It's every day. Every day. People with stuff on their heads and they just walking up and down and then boom, boom, asking for this. Thank you. God bless you. You're awesome. Thank you, Jesus. I'm like, man, the good news. I was talking to the brothers. Why are they happier than us? The lights went out everywhere we were. Everywhere we were, the lights went out. Had to turn the generator on at the hotel. The lights went out at the retreat for a little while. The lights went out at Francis's house. The tub is leaking. This is going on. I'm like, oh my gosh. You try to find a bathroom. You're trying to get on the road. Where's the ice? You got to go in a village to get ice. A village? Then you're coming back. You're like, okay. All right, we're going to find a bathroom. There's two service stations here. Great. Awesome. We can go to the bathroom. We're on our way back from the Cape Coast. You know, I'm like, this is going to be all right. We're going to find a bathroom. You know, not feeling good. I'm like, okay, man. Awesome. Can't find a bathroom. It's an outhouse. Diane's like, oh, her and Paul are like, nope, we're not going there. No doors. Then we go across the street. It's awesome. We go across the street. I find one with no doors. I'm good. I'm a man. I'm going behind that wall. I'm good. I'm good. I'm going behind the wall. I'm good. And then finally we find a stall. It don't flush. So then you got to kind of take the bucket from outside. You got to flush it. Paul's like, look, Diane, you just do it like this. I'm like, oh, really? Then you look for toilet paper. Oh, we finished. Ran out. No toilet paper? No, you got to buy napkins to wipe yourself. This is every day. And then it's 90 degrees with 80% humidity. With a low of 82. And the lights go out. I mean, I'm not trying to portray, Ghana's a wonderful city. It's not, it's very developed, but there are things, Francis said right before we got there, he had to call the power company because the lights went out for 5 days in a row. And they're happy, and they're fired up, and they're grateful. And Paul says this. He says, listen, in verse 18, he says, pray in the spirit at all times. Just as he's talking about the powers of principality, we know what this looks like. And on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. To bring you up to date, Tychicus, I guess Kendall and Diane, Abina and Quabina, will give you a full report about Ghana, about what we're doing, what they're doing, and how I'm getting along, and how they're doing. We're going to do more of that. He's a beloved brother and faithful help in the Lord's work. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we're doing and to encourage you. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is a great explanation point to a wonderful series. You know, when I think about the good news, one of the verses that I leave now that really resonates with me, because as we were singing, it was weird. All I can think about was Almina Castle. All I can think about are the children running across the road with the things on their head, having to sell for their family. I said, Francis, do those kids go to school? Oh, no, their parents right over there, bro. They sell for a living. They're on the street selling for a living. So we went to the gym, we worked out, nearly died. And this trainer, I'm like, bro, what are you trying? I'm going back home. You know, what's going on here, you know? But no, we had a great time with that. But we come in and it's the same kids. You come around that same interchange, the same kids are out there selling and doing what they have to do to support their families. But the reason I bring all this up is The passage that I think about is do everything without complaining and arguing. Everything. I got in my car at the airport, I turned it on, the AC worked, everything worked. I mean, we had to rent a car for Diane to keep her cool, and we couldn't find a car. So essentially, Francis, God bless him, and I paid for the car. And it was amazing. I said, man, this is a good price. It was $69 for the car. I'm like, wow, a day for a rental car. So the guy shows up with a Toyota Tundra with 25-inch wheels. That's the rental car. And it's great. Okay, we're riding the rental car. And then is a monsoon as we're leaving the hotel. And Diane's like, it's raining back here. She had to put a towel up not to get wet in the rental car. I mean, just stuff we take for granted, you know, that kind of thing. But all in all, the brothers and sisters, you can count on one thing. They're happy. They're happy. Why? Because it's not about what we deal with on earth. It's what's in our hearts and how much we're focused on the good news and how much we're talking about it, not just hearing and theologically sitting in an AC building and doing this. Look, I'm American, I get it. But guys, we need to do more for God. Amen. We need to talk about this good news. We need to live this good news out. Talk about it. Talk about it. Give it away. Allow it to manifest in our hearts so that more and more people can hear the gospel. So that people can have hope. The greatest thing that they're doing in Accra is they're bringing hope. Oh, let's not talk about the church buildings now. Let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about the church buildings. Let's not talk about Kids Kingdom. Let's not talk about the outhouse on the main campus. Let's not talk about when it rains, it's a struggle to meet because the building leaks. Let's not talk about that. But they're worshiping God and they're happy. And you know what Francis says? He says, the main thing he says, I said, bro, how do you deal with all this? He says, you know what? It's the good news, bro, and God is with me. That's what Matthew 28:18-20 tells me. You know, go make disciples. You know what? God is with me. Bro, I don't get security. You know why? Because God is with me. And that is what the key is, brothers and sisters. The good news is so special. We had this amazing series. Go back, listen to the lessons. I'm not going to review all the lessons, but let's talk about the good news. Amen? Ross, come on up, bro.
It's a tough act to follow right there, but I think I do have some things to share that will relate to what we're talking about here today. So I also want to thank everybody who's already served today, and particularly the series, those who got up here before us, Jordan and Hickman and Elders Panel, you all did a wonderful job. But as you can see, I'm not a preacher dropping stuff. But while Kendall was speaking, I changed my lesson, and I know it's fearful. I was doing that for my clock, start my 8 minutes, boom. Okay. So here's the thing. What Kendall just shared about was very much a big adventure and eye-opening. And if you've ever traveled to other places, this is a bubble kind of location where things work. And occasionally, I want this sweater. Is the air conditioner high enough? You know, but it's trivial kind of stuff. But it is an adventure and very eye-opening when you go. But I will say this. I'm going to try to bring home today for us, living right here, the adventure we can live here in Atlanta. The needs when you go other places are obvious. You can smell them, feel them, see them. You don't know what to do with them other than try to love people. And I've been on quite a few mission trips. And by the way, I just want to say I'm very proud of our international fellowship. I think it's wonderful that we have large churches in many other countries and that we've supported those over the years. I share about that in my testimony to the world. I share about paying off a swamp mortgage. Why? Because you're a former banker. And by the way, I should mention, we still live here. I don't know. So many people have come up. Hey, I heard about the Florida thing. How's it living down there? No. We live here. We had a granddaughter born. We worship here. We're members here. We had a granddaughter born on April 3rd, and you know, so we're growing and multiplying. Claire's her name, Cameron's the proud dad, Maggie's the wonderful mother, and there's 12 of us now, so we're a pretty big part of the congregation. So I mentioned that, numerically at least, pretty big part of the congregation. But that was a deviation right there. But here's what I've got today. I've got one question. I've got one story. I've got one Greek word, one goal, and one prayer. It's a lot. They're all one. Here's the question. How'd you get here? Maybe you found us online. I met a person yesterday who said they found us online. So amen. And that's the modern era. So whoever's doing that technology for us, thank you very much. Most of us, it was through another person. A person met us, saw us, listened to us, became our friend, brought us to church, did a number of things to help us. For us, it was Michelle. And Michelle walked by my wife when she was in nursing school, turned around. Did she feel love? Did she feel guilt? Did she feel pressure? I never asked. She invited her to church, says, yeah, we're actually looking. We're new to town. We're newly married. We're looking around. So in our case, it was a person. In your case, it was probably a person used by God. That's how you found your way here. And so toward that end, the next people that come to Christ, the next people that come to church, the next people that come for healing, the next people that hear about God's working in powerful ways, probably going to come through a person. One story. We've got a 16-year-old teaching her to drive and how to share her faith. And also, why? Why drive? Why share your faith? She got her license, and she got her lesson pretty strongly on sharing her faith. And if our server from Eggs Up Grill is online right now, thank you. Because it was an unusual endeavor, but it could lead to her ultimate benefit. We met, and I had a gator hat on, and she gave a couple of expletives. I don't know why. And so after we were having, you know, mild expletives, as we were having breakfast, if you're online, I'm just saying that was nice. As we were talking about why share our faith, should we share our faith, I said, so does this seem like a good opportunity to share our faith? And my trusting 16-year-old granddaughter says, Papa, you know better than me. I assume yes. Perfect. As it turned out, when we did the awkward transition while you're tipping and stuff to share, she said, are you inviting me to church? I didn't know if we were going at it at that point, because she was pretty feisty. She said, because my sister just died, and I've taken custody of 3 teenagers. And you have teen activities. So that was a good opportunity for Savannah to share that, in fact, we do have teen activities, right? So that was cool. But anyway, that was one story. You just never know. And we're so quick to judge, is that person needy? Is that person likely to respond? We don't have any idea. We just have the good news that we can offer up. Give people a chance. One Greek word, and this will be important for you. S-O-S-A. Some of you know what that means. Some of us can learn more deeply what it means. Sozo. It's in the New Testament 111 times, so it's probably worth us studying. Sozo. S-O-S-A. Here's where it comes up so many times, 111. The woman's bleeding. She touches Jesus. She gets healed. I'm so sorry. I was wrong for me to grab you. And he says, daughter, your faith has sosa'd you. Has healed you, has saved you, Sosa. The disciples are afraid in the boat. They're going to die of a violent storm. Jesus is resting. And they go, Jesus, save us, Sosa. And he calms down the storm. The gospel, of course, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15:2. And it says, by this gospel, you're saved, Sosa. That's what we're saved by that Sosa. So it'd be good to learn what this word means. Pray for your leaders, 1 Timothy 2:3-4, both church, but really that context is probably governmental. It says, because God desires all people to be saved, Sosa, and come to a knowledge of the truth. And on it goes. So the word means, obviously, forgiveness salvation. We probably know that. But I think that's where we focused a lot of our sharing of our faith. It also includes to be rescued, made well, protected, healed, to be preserved, to be delivered, and to made whole again. And so that leads me to my goal. My goal is for us to assess. I said I wasn't going to talk about it. You never said that. But many times we've said that to ourselves, and we've just not talked about it. I want you to think through why. And it could range from you've had some rough experiences, maybe you've been arrested for sharing your faith, I doubt it. Perhaps beaten, kind of doubt it. Made to look funny, for sure. Felt pressured by someone to do it. You're with some crazy Christian and they're doing it all the time. Awkward. Or inspiring, maybe. So that is the goal, that we would choose to love more actively and more holistically, ministering to and caring for individuals and communicating to them that this is how God cares for you. Yes, forgiveness of sins. Yes, repent and be baptized. Feel the sosa of God. Last thing, one prayer, and here it is. I'm gonna take some water, that'll help me. Dear God, we bow before you. We have our story. Some are dramatic. Some we were fortunate to be raised by others. But God, we have a story of faith, a story filled with grace, blessings, and we can share that with others. God, when we have, and when we've done so, you have done miraculous things, and we frequently even forget how that's the case. Thank you for reminders. Thank you for leading us to people that need you desperately and would never be saying that to us in a conversation until we broach SOSA. God, that we would bring that message to this world that certainly needs it, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, it's interesting how the Holy Spirit worked, because I wanted Ross to share, because holistically we both came for a lunch together and it was like, oh wow, the Holy Spirit was speaking to him about the same content that I had on my heart as well. I want to share some practicals with you in regard to this. I've been in a Bible study every Thursday virtually with Andy Pilcher, Bryce, Kyle Walker at times, with Tom Masters at times, and a couple other people since October of last year. Every Thursday. Okay, sometimes we're off, you know, because we, you know, things come up, people are out of town, but our time is Thursdays at 8:00. So I want to share some practicals for the parents. What if your community group or your family group, not community group because we're not, what if your family group and the women said, hey, after we put the kids down on Tuesday night at 8 or Tuesday night at 9, let's go ahead and talk with Mary Sue and see if she'd like to study the Bible. Let's do that. Or maybe we can do Saturday morning, you know, from 8 to 9 after the kids have their recreational thing. If we're in some fun fishing holes, you know, whether we're doing, you know, softball or dance or track or jazzercise or, you know, whatever we're doing, you know, say, hey, let's block out a time once a week, where we can pour into someone else's life. And the beauty of it is, what if it's 5 or 6 of us that do it? And it's not just me individually trying to get personally fruitful, but what if it's 5 and 6 of us? So if one of us falls out, the kids get sick or I get sick or something happens, let's do it. You know, Harvey, I've been in Bible studies with Harvey. He's just an awesome brother. He's been studying with single guys. You know, it's just, we've been studying. We go out on a Friday night, we go to an IHOP and we go eat and we study the Bible. Brothers and sisters, you know, I'll say this. I know what our history is at the ICOC. We need to be studying the Bible with people. It's good for you to see someone's heart transformed through the power of God. And it's not just the 20%. If it's 20% of the people doing it, then it's just like the world. The body of Christ, every part talking about the good news, needs to be active in serving God in a way that deals with the powers of principalities, that deals with the challenges of this crazy world, and bring hope to this dark, dirty, dingy world. We plant and water, God makes it grow. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with God and how well he uses you and how well you want to be used by God. Not how well he uses you, but how proud do you want to make your Father in heaven say, God, just use me any way that I can. Some are teachers, some are hospitable, some are leaders, some are this, some are introverted, some are extroverted, some are really good at doing this, some are really good at doing that. Bring that team together and watch how God is glorified, amen? We need to be studying the Bible with people. The beauty of it is now that we are in life stages and the family groups are here, we have a mechanism to bring our friends to really help them, and they can go back into small groups after they show up and say, oh man, you're really helping me with my needs, just as Ross shared. And there's so many stories like that. Even amongst the sharing that was here when we did the lessons, it was wonderful. Look at the good news. Look at how much the good news impacted our brothers and sisters. So as we close, I want to read 202. I'm minus 14 seconds, so I'm going to do this. Lord, we sing your praises loud. Sing them to the stumbling crowd. Sing of Jesus and his word. Sing until the earth has heard. Sing of crosses and his blood. Earth waits, darkness, and the flood. Sing of judgment. Sing of grace. Sing until we see his face. God is why we live and sing. We the servants, he the king. All his power, all his life. Living in the church's wife. God is justice, God is love, God is reigning from above, God is sovereign over the land, nations bow at his command. Life is but a passing glance, seek him while you have the chance. We are made of naught but clay, till we're changed on that great day. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. God, it's awesome. Thank you for the good news. Thank you for this amazing church, this amazing group of brothers and sisters that love you, that appreciate you, God, that you've rescued out of this dark world. Father, help us with all the conflicts in the world to bring hope to this dark world, God. Help us to be the vehicles and the engines, God, that hold up the good news. God, we don't know how you're going to use it. We don't know what you're going to do through us. We just want to be used by you. Thank you, God, for your amazing love and grace. Wretched people such as us, because of Jesus' death on the cross, because of the amazing blood shed on the cross, we get to sit here, hear your word, transform as a result of your word, be filled with your Holy Spirit, and know, God, someday we will see you. God, as we take this bread and we take this juice, Father, we honor you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.